Hey friends, I came across this guy called Jake. Jake was a builder, a carpenter by trade, and he was very good at what he did. But his passion was not in building for others, it was in building for himself. For years, he talked about his dream house. Not just any house, but his perfect house. It was going to be an architectural marvel, a masterpiece of his own design and craftsmanship. It was going to have a massive man cave, media room, indoor pool, a gourmet kitchen, a library with floor-to-ceiling bookshelves, and a sprawling deck that looked out over the valley. Jake worked tirelessly. He took on extra jobs, saved every penny, and spent his weekends meticulously planning. He would often say, "Just a little more. Just one more project, one more year, and then I'll have the money. Then I'll build my house. Then I'll finally rest. Then I'll be happy." Years went by. The design became more elaborate, the budget grew, and the promised start date receded further into the future. He became so consumed with the idea of this house, the building of it, the future enjoyment of it, that he had no time for anything else. He missed family gatherings, he let friendships fade, and he neglected his own health. He was so busy preparing for a life he wanted to live that he wasn't living the life he had. Then one day, quite unexpectedly, Jake had a heart attack. He survived, but the doctor gave him a grave warning. "Your body is telling you to stop. You must slow down." Lying in his hospital bed, he looked out the window and saw the sky, something he hadn't truly seen in years. He thought of his blueprints, his savings, his plans. He was a rich man in all but one thing, time. He had meticulously prepared for a future that was no longer guaranteed. He had poured his life into building a barn for himself, but he had no time to enjoy it. He was a fool. The book of Ecclesiastes, which we hear from today, gets right to the heart of this kind of foolishness. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. The preacher is a wise but weary old soul who looks at the human project and sees its futility. He observes the tireless work, the accumulation of wealth, the pursuit of pleasure, and he sees that it all comes to nothing in the end. For what has a person from all his toil, and from the striving of his heart with which he toils under the sun? What good is it to work like a slave for something you can't take with you? The wise person and the fool both face the same end. The harvest of our earthly labors often goes to someone else. The problem, as St. Paul tells us in the second reading, is that we are looking for life in the wrong place. We are looking down when we should be looking up. We have been raised with Christ, we are a new creation. Our life is hidden with Christ in God. Therefore, Paul says, seek what is above. Our attention, our energy, our passion. It shouldn't be focused on the things of this world. Instead, we are to put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and the greed that is idolatry. This is a powerful word, idolatry. It's the key that unlocks today's gospel. The man in the crowd asks Jesus to settle an inheritance dispute. This seems like a reasonable request, a common earthly problem. But Jesus, ever the master teacher, refuses to get involved in the petty squabbles of the world. Instead, he addresses the root cause of the problem, greed. He warns the crowd, "Take care to guard against all greed, for though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions." Then Jesus tells the parable of the rich fool. The man is successful. He has a bumper crop. He's not a bad man in the conventional sense. He didn't steal the harvest. His sin is not in being rich, but in his total, exclusive focus on himself and his possessions. Notice the language, "What shall I do? For I have no place to store my harvest. I shall tear down my barns and build larger ones. And I shall say to my soul, soul, you have many goods stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, be merry." It's all I and my, with no mention of God, no thought for his neighbors, no gratitude for the gift of the harvest. He has made his wealth his God. He has turned his earthly abundance into an idol. And then comes the devastating divine verdict. "You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong?" This is a stark and terrifying passage, and it's no accident that you hear it on a day when the first reading has already said, vanity of vanities. The rich man's life, his striving, his toil, all of it is proven to be for nothing. The house he built, the barn he planned, the future he imagined, it all vanishes in an instant. It is worth noting that Luke's gospel, a gospel known for its mercy and forgiveness, only records Jesus sending people to hell twice. This is one of those times. The other is the unnamed rich man in the parable of Lazarus. In both cases, the sin is not simply being wealthy. The sin is the idolatry of greed, the complete and total self-absorption that forgets God and neglects the poor. The rich fool's sin is that he forgot God existed. The rich man in the parable of Lazarus sinned by ignoring the suffering man at his gate. In both cases, the sin is a radical separation from God and from neighbor, an idolatry of self and possessions that leads to spiritual death. So, what does this mean for us today? Most of us aren't building larger barns to store our surplus grain. But we might be building other things. We might be building a perfect retirement portfolio, a bigger social media following, or a meticulously curated life on our phones. We might be so busy toiling for a future we want that we are not living the life God is offering us right now. We might be so focused on ourselves that we forget to see the Lazarus at our gate, the neighbor in need, or the God who is the source of all our blessings. The choice is clear. We can be rich in what matters to the world, only to find that our treasures are dust in the wind. Or we can be rich in what matters to God. We can use the gifts we've been given, our time, our talent, our treasures, not to build bigger barns for ourselves, but to build up the kingdom of God. This means sharing our blessings, serving our neighbors, and living with our hearts focused on heaven. The real question is not, what will I do with my stuff, but to whom will my life belong? Let us pray that we, unlike the rich fool, may choose to live lives that are rich toward God. Amen.